I am absolutely thrilled to be talking with the incomparable D.L. Hughley today. Old Daryl Lynn, D.L. Hughley, is an American actor. He's a political commentator, radio host, author, and stand-up comedian. In fact, he's one of the folks in the comedy world that I admire most. He is so brilliant. You might remember him as the host of BET's Comic View and the D.L. Hughley sitcom. And I had the wonderful opportunity to go on his show on the same trip to New York where I was headlining at Caroline's on Broadway. And his thing was, how in the world did you end up in the comedy business? And then he said, well, I kind of get it.
The first time I ever tasted caramel corn and cheese corn, I went, these don't go together, but they're so good. And that's how I feel about you doing comedy. It doesn't seem... it seems like, of course you would do that. Of course. I didn't see it coming, but of course you would do it. Of course.
DL and I are going to talk about comedy, cougars, and cons in politics. And wait till you hear what DL does when he hears the sound of my voice.
Well, I'll tell you what. Your voice, I've masturbated to before. Let me just tell you that. It's so spectacular.
Really?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Call me later.
I think that...
All that and more today. In this special episode of Rolanda on Demand. Hey, don't just listen. Please subscribe and rate me and review me because I think you're really going to enjoy this show.
It's Row Time.
Welcome to Rolanda on Demand.
I love my podcast because we not only tackle the tough issues of the day, but we deal with hot topics, celebrity interviews, and information that can help you in your business or relationships.
This is Rolanda on Demand.
I swear I had no idea that D.L. Hughley masturbated to my voice. Wow. You know something, and after you listen to this interview, you're going to wonder why we're not dating. I'm telling the truth. But he is someone I truly admire, and I believe that when you are taking on something new in a reinvention stage, you hang out with, talk with, pick the brains of people that you really admire in your field. So you can only imagine how thrilled I was to be invited on his radio show to talk about my reinvention into comedy.
Westwood One and Five Times Media presents The Hughley Truth. The Hughley Truth with D.L. Hughley.
Here we are, The Hughley Truth, back again. We have our first guest is on the line, Guy Mary, who is joining us this week.
Oh, I'm so excited joining us. First of two guests joining us today, from a New York City news anchor to an international talk show host. She's an actor and author. By the way, recently released the book Destiny Lingers. It's a romance novel, DL. Now she's throwing her hat into the comedy ring. Going to be at Caroline's, and I'm talking about none other than Miss Rolanda Watts.
Hey, Rolanda, how are you, my dear?
I'm good. How you doing?
I have not seen you in so long, but your pictures tell me you're just as beautiful as you ever were, woman.
You are so sweet. You remember us shooting that movie, Shackles, a million years ago.
I got killed in that movie. Yes, I do. I remember that. How are you?
I'm doing great, and thank you. I'm so honored to be on your show. I was getting into the conversation there, but it's so nice to be on the show.
You know, you've had your own talk show, you're a newscaster, you're a journalist. Where am I wrong? I make the comparison. I think that there fundamentally is no different between Trump loyalist and Kim Jong-un loyalist. I think they have the same narrow, myopic view of their leaders. They refuse to process any new information, and they believe lockstep in what their leaders tell them. And they're both on the brink of having a small minority of very ignorant people who aren't accessed the information or refuse to include it. They're on the brink of a nuclear holocaust because two boy men are leading the world.
Two morons, it seems like. Yeah, I believe that. And two very people who lack empathy, people who are narcissists, people who have some would say some little psychological disorders here.
Not some, all. Anybody who's being fair would say that men who talk like this, when you're a grown man, now, and Kim Jong-un, I actually expect less from because he's been exposed to less, and he's a younger guy. And, you know, he's been groomed to kind of be this thing. But a very wealthy billionaire who's seen the world and prides himself on being erudite and learned and successful, a successful businessman, for him not to know something, it's just it's a tribute to his laziness. It really is.
And but I think we have to look at ourselves as a nation. And you are right what you said. It's a very, if you really look at it, it is a certain mentality that is putting all this into place.
Yeah.
And how did we, as so-called intelligent people, as so-called the most powerful nation in the world, how did we let this happen? You know, I love this country, and it breaks my heart to see this happen. And I know there's a lot of remorse out there, and now it's like, what are we going to do? But we really have to look in that mirror and say, how did we allow this to happen? Well, we don't even use coal anymore.
You're absolutely right, because whether you voted for or him or not, the fact that there were more people who didn't vote than who did.
Silence says it's okay.
Yeah, well, silence is acquiescence. You say it's all right to do.
I think
we're in trouble. Listen, you've made the transition. Like, I think you're multi-hyphenate now. You're an author, a journalist, you're a talk show host. Now you're a comedian.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think those things are dissimilar. They're just a dissemination of information, right? They're really kind of. Do you think they're similar?
Well, you know what? I said, you know, back in the day when people tried to keep you in a box and said, you just have to be a news reporter. They thought I was crazy being a talk show host. They thought I was crazy being a. But you know what? It's all linear, if you will, because as much as schizophrenic as you think I might be, it's actually storytelling.
Right.
It's all about storytelling and the power of a story to change minds, to change hearts, to make people laugh, to make people change laws. Any way I can tell a story to make a difference, that's where my soul seeks itself.
Mm-hmm. You know,
so,
like water seeks its own level. You know what's funny? It really is. It's really about perspective and storytelling. It's like a water that comes in your house. Some you use to take a shower. Some you use to cook with. Some you use to wash your car. Same source, different uses. And I think perspective and the ability to tell a story are kind of the same. They kind of have the same attributes as that.
Absolutely. And I also like storytelling because it's smart. You know, one of the things I've always admired about you, DL, and you are somebody who I've always looked up to, especially in the comedy world, is because you're so brilliant. And it just like Dick Gregory did. He was so brilliant, or Carlin, were able to bring really complex things into what you relate with.
Mm-hmm.
You tell a story and then complex issues become relatable.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can tackle them, you know, or at least digest the ideas. But, I'm having a great deal of fun with it. It's something I've always dreamed of doing. And Kim Coles kicked me onto the stage during her bridesmaids party about 2.5 years ago. And said, give me 5 minutes. I said, come on. She goes, I know you got 5 minutes of something funny. 17 minutes later, I'm hooked. I'm taking my courses. I'm signed up in workshops. And this headlining at Caroline's is just...
Wait. You've been doing it 2.5 years on a humbug. And now you're at Caroline, and they're headlining Caroline. I can't tell you how much I can't stand you right now. This very second, I'm so jealous.
I did the Comedy Union. I do the Comedy Store.
Yeah,
I headlined at Flappers.
It took me 15 years to headline at Caroline's, but that's not the point. I'm happy for,
If you need a middle one day, keep me in mind.
Let me tell you something. Once you headline a joint, it's very hard to be a middle unless the money's different. Whenever I see Mary, who's one of our producers on the show, she's actually started doing comedy. And whenever I see somebody in this kind of genre, it is really, to me, I think it's the last honest genre. It is the last one. Comedy holds a mirror up to society, or when done right, holds a mirror up to society, and all it asks is that it see itself or recognize itself in it, and to do it in a way that, like I know that my gig is to have people come to where I watch what I'm doing and feel like they got their money's worth or they entertained. But my goal for myself is to at least be truthful. I don't think that has to have any social weight. I don't think it has to have any human weight. I just think it has to have, it has to resonate with you. It has to be important to you. What are you talking about? What is resonating with you? What do you think topically you spark to?
Well, I find it so ironic that now after I wrote this romance novel called Destiny Lingers, endorsed by Dr. Maya Angelou, now on bookstore shelves, I can't believe I'm in the romance business. Because I look at my real life and I say, what the heck happened? I've accomplished so much
in
my
life. Well, those who can't do, coach.
I can't do romance. I don't know what's happened. I said, I've been waiting around for Mr. Right for so long, I've become the man I wanted to marry.
You've been waiting for.
I do all the things in my house I think a man should be doing, like paying the mortgage,
right,
taking me out to dinner,
right,
having great sex with me.
Right.
I do
there
all
you
that.
Go. Well, yeah, the batteries help, but that's not that. Well, who cares? And water, who cares?
Right. But I go through this whole thing. It's like the weary stories of a woman of a certain age still looking for love, mm-hmm. you know? And it's about going through my cougarlicious stage. And
what is cougarlicious? So you tried to knock off young dudes? Is that was it?
Well, I did. They did call me the Black Demi Moore. And I
right.
did make the big mistake of believing my own PR, which is okay. the worst thing you can do in Hollywood.
Well, no. Here's the thing. Whenever I see older women who identify with themselves as cougar, even for any period, I wonder what it is. Is it that young dudes give you a sense of control, or you're just more sexually attracted to them, or you find you have more in common with them, or what is it that makes you kind of? Because I know for men it's an ego thing. Like young women don't attract they're attractive to me, but I think they all stink. I really do. I think they smell like people who haven't learned how to take care. They do to me. they do. I'm like, you ever like they just there is a certain smell you have when you are not comfortable with your body, and they're just ways that you are. And I think very mature women, not very mature, but women who are comfortable with themselves, they know how to take care of themselves, they are women, have always appealed to me. So what is it? So I think when I notice that the dudes like younger girls, there is something, there's a reason for that. And I think it's more ego and it's driven by a certain ego. What is it for women?
I think there's nothing wrong with waking up to an 8-pack mofo every morning.
Yeah, right.
But
right.
the problem is you think they love you. You know, and they don't love you. They want the same thing from you that they want from their mothers.
Right.
Money and tits.
Yeah.
Maybe an occasional spanking.
Yeah. yeah.
But,
yeah.
but you know, I don't know.
You made me nervous. My Mother's Day card is going to be so different right now.
No, but I think it's just the energy, the fun. You know, you go out with old guys and you have to slap them, but it's because you think they're dead.
Right. You have to slap them to make sure they didn't die in your car.
Right. And like, you know, I had one guy, he said, you know, I think you're so pretty. I said, well, thanks. He goes, I think it's my eyes. Or, you know,
right.
He goes, you have your teeth. And I'm like, what? Is this the era I'm in now?
No, baby, girl, let me tell you something. People don't, I personally think that there is, everything I like has experienced something. I like wine. I like bourbons that are complex. I like watches that with certain movements. And I like women the same way. I like things that have been through things.
Well, there's one.
Yeah, I really do. I think he wasn't being disrespectful. If you can get past 40 and keep all your teeth, you got fairly good grooming. We know you damn sure ain't from England. We know that.
Oh, God. But you know what? It's just so much fun. And you know what you were saying earlier? What I have found, because I really love the writing of comedy. That's really exciting to me.
Uh-huh.
Keeping it tight. I think that's where my journalism helps.
Keeping it tight and the cougar keeping it tight, too.
And so cougar, right,
here we are.
Exactly. But it's just telling the truth, you know, and I think the truth is so funny. Even when it's painful, the truth is funny.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think that there is a reason that humor has a, and humility, I think humor humanizes things.
Yeah.
I think that you will find that people who are the most well-adjusted people are able to be self-deprecating because they have a fairly good idea of who they are. Like most people are who they are, who they want to be, and who everybody thinks they are. I think people who are really good at humor have all those kinds of identities in the same sphere. And I think the best I've ever seen do that have a vulnerability and ability and the ability to be self-deprecating. And which is my other point, because I think when you're a very attractive woman, and you are, it is really hard to break yourself out of the place where you see yourself as an attractive woman and just kind of be a person. I think that a lot of beautiful women, I don't want to paint anybody with one broad brush, even brides, is that they're very aware of how they appear all the time. They're very self-aware in a kind of narcissistic, where they know how they look, they know what they're wearing, they know how people see them, they already have an idea of how they're perceived. And I think that is a backdrop. It's a difficult backdrop to work from.
Yeah, but I think that when you look at your frailties and you look at your vulnerabilities, that's where the sweet spots are. And I think that's in life and lessons, too.
What would you say your vulnerabilities are?
What my vulnerabilities are?
Yes.
Just not being perfect. You know, I may be on TV all the time. I might have
a beautiful woman who says she's not perfect. That's a fucking rarity right there.
Oh, what happened?
You're a unicorn.
You know, but I think it's life's journey and just looking at it. Just you got, and some things you just got to laugh.
Yeah.
And it's just being raw and true. And I think that really, and talking about things that really piss you off too.
Like what? What really pisses you off?
Well, this whole dating thing. This mm-hmm. is just all the cyber stuff that at this age, and just, you know.
The cyber stuff, I mean, you got to go, like, if you want to catch a fish, you got to go biting, right? You got
to
go.
It takes me a week to find out what Romeo Real Ready for Romance 24/7's real name is. This is ridiculous. You know, and all this texting back and forth,
right.
that's crazy.
Right,
and
right.
And all these pictures they send of different parts. Yeah,
what body parts bothers you the most?
Well, you know, here's the thing. I had to have a talk with God.
Right.
Because I tried to act all, please don't send me your penis. You know, right. I'm offended. But there were some...
Doesn't offend you like, wait, like, okay. Dick pics offend you just if they come out like a surprise. But if you dig somebody... If you dig somebody, like I love I like for a woman to send me a nice ass shot or what kind of draw she wearing. That turns me on. So I would never be offended by it. And the only thing you can think from is your particular perspective. So a dude who you've dated and you kind of have a cool relationship send you a nice surprise dick pic, that offend you?
Probably not.
Right.
But just at hello.
Yeah.
You know, at some point, it's like, can I see your eyes?
Yeah, right. Well, yeah. Hey, my eyes are around my dick. That's why I keep them there.
But you know what? The thing is that, you know, you a lot of us do save them if they are, you know, half decent looking.
I am so offended. Look at this side.
I know,
what is
look
this?
At this. But I
is he a fucking horse?
It.
What is he?
I won't erase it. In fact, I marked it as a favorite. And I have to talk to God about this.
What do you know now that you are more mature than you did when you were younger? What would the mature Rolanda tell the 22-year-old Rolanda?
Just be yourself. Uh-huh. You know, I think we were so busy trying to be proper and perfect, you know, for so many from college and mom and dad and uh-huh. an industry that was, you know, our industry was so tight back in the day and coming to the newsroom and all of that. And just being comfortable, just being who you are with all mm-hmm. your quirks. You know, when I speak with especially young people, I say, you know, every single thing that I'm known for and branded for is everything that used to be a fault. You know, they used to say, "Oh, your voice is so deep. You sound like a boy." Now I'm a voiceover artist.
Well, I tell you what, your voice I've masturbated to before. Let me just tell you that it's so spectacular.
Really?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
Call me later.
I think that I've always, speaking of Demi Moore, not only do you have her love of young people, you have her voice too. But I think there's something attractive about a woman who is self-deprecating. Who sounds like she smokes a little bit and drinks a little bourbon? You sound like everything cool about all the attributes of what I think is cool. Like I think you sound earthy, and I think you sound sexy, and I think you sound slow, like molasses. Like when I hear like slow molasses and smoky, that reminds me of you. And that, to me, that's very that's very exotic.
Well, thank you very much.
So you would tell the younger you to be yourself.
Yeah.
What would the younger you tell the older you?
Wow. That's a good one.
Every once in a while.
Younger me tell the older one. Wow. I guess don't worry about anything. I guess, I don't know. I think, you know, you make these 10-year rules, these 10-year plans, these 10-year strategies, and now at this age in my... You know, mid-century. The next 10 years are different. What will they look like? You know, and you don't always have the answer to that. And I think that it just the younger would say, you never worried about anything before. You always threw yourself into the wind and flew trust that that will happen even now, because, you know, every life is very different right now.
Is it easier to trust in things when you're younger? Because, like they say, I know you learn a language when you're younger, and
yeah.
You're more apt to learn. Is it that, well, the more the less the mind has that is cluttered with, the more the ability it has to absorb. But can you teach somebody new tricks? Can you teach somebody who's been through a lot and had, like, 'cause you had a lot of success being exactly who you are? It's like, to me, Michael Jordan was one of the world's greatest basketball player, not so much a baseball player or a GM. So God doesn't give with two hands.
Right.
So a lot of times people that were so great and otherworldly on one platform or in one, in one prism can't translate. And to them, that's a level of frustration. You have achieved a level of success that is kind of unparalleled. And now you're going into a brand new endeavor. I mean, even though you, headlined at Caroline's in 2.5 years, which is actually against the argument I'm having. But do you think that those talents and skills are transferable? And if you do, are they transferable at the success level you had?
Well, I think, one of my favorite awards, DL, was when I was in high school, I got the I Dare You Award.
Ah.
And it was an award that, I would, and that was very much a part of my spirit. I was a daring person. I would throw
right.
myself off a 5-diamond hill. But why not,
Right.
Let's try that. And also a lot of it, of my success, has come from someone, somewhere very important telling me, no, I could never do that.
Right.
I was too this, or I was too that, or I wasn't that. And I would say, the old hand under the chin, hey, watch this.
Right.
Hold
right.
my beer, watch this.
Right. Oh, Tom Brady.
Yeah. And it made it happen, mainly because I was so angry that somebody didn't think I could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of that has been that spirit. Well, why not? Let's try this, And I also believe, I believe in education. If you really study something and you really take it seriously and have a belief and visualize and all that, you can make anything happen, no matter how old you are.
I actually think that you're right. And it's just a wealth of, you have a wealth of experiences to draw from. So you really do. You have just a wealth of experiences that you can draw from who you've spoken to and the places you've been and the experiences that you've had. They combine, like if you got a spice rack full of every kind of spice, you're going to be able to make some pretty interesting dishes.
That's
you're
going right.
to be able to, like if you only got Larry Stevenson, you're going to be at my mother's house. But if you... But the more kind of continuum of experiences you have, the more it kind of optimizes your opportunities for success, your chances at success. And I think that's one of the reasons you have a chance to be. And the other one is the ability to take a punch. And I was never formally educated. I didn't know how to read, but I started reading when I would go on the road. I would read a newspaper and I would start reading, and I would read a word and I would keep reading it in the sentence over and over again, or maybe a couple of sentences after it, and I would get the context of a word.
Right.
And I started to understand the value of knowing things just to have a conversation with somebody.
Well, you're one of the brilliant people I know and have seen on television.
That is very sweet. But I think knowing things... the reason that I think the thing you said is your experiences are great. You've done all that, but you know a lot of shit. You know a lot of shit, and knowledge is trans. When you know a lot of shit, and you can do it in a way, and you can present information in a way that's not challenging or that's based on facts and education and experiences. You can take people on a bit of a journey because a lot of times they haven't had those experiences or been through those things.
You're right, exactly. And also you can take. Like I said, I think that's what journalism does, and reporting, and even novel writing is taking. Because my novel is a love story, but it's a suspense. They call it romance suspense, and it deals with racism.
Well, you waiting to see if you're pregnant? Like that's a suspense.
Right.
What
the
you're
with? It deals with race.
It's the rabbit is dead.
They're waiting. Destiny lingers.
Right,
Destiny lingers.
Right. But, so it deals with race and class.
Yeah. It's a story about this investigative news reporter in New York City who's chasing down all the big stories, helping negotiate a hostage situation, and not paying attention to her own life until she finds his long strand of red hair on her husband's bed pillow.
Uh-huh.
And the only person she knows with red hair is her best friend, Eve.
Right.
You know where that's
going
to go. But she goes down to North Carolina to this little beachfront community where she grew up, meets this handsome police chief. There's an uncanny familiarity, and come to find out that's the little boy she was in love with but couldn't be with because of segregation.
Uh-huh.
Time moves on and destiny lingers. And it asks not only the question of what would you do at a second chance at your first love, but what is it that, you know, the laws that kept them apart couldn't separate their love. And they come from the racist, you know, it's like a Trump family meets an Obama family, the girl and boy, and they can't be together.
Mm.
And then all of this class and race that they have to overcome. And bottom line, that love endures all. And so I want.
Do you really think that love endures all?
Yeah, I really do. I really do.
I think that's a quaint notion, and I think that it is an aspirational notion. I just don't know. Love, there's a lot of, well, it morphs. It's like, what do they say? It's like one of those viruses that you can't really cure a common cold because it morphs into so many different things.
Right.
And I think love is like that, too. I think that it can sustain a lot, but I don't know if it's
well, you know what? I hear what you're saying. I think love endures even if it has to metamorphosize.
Yeah,
a diamond's going to endure even though it starts out as a lump of coal.
Right.
It's got to go through what it's got to go through to be what it's going to be.
The first time I ever tasted caramel corn and cheese corn, I went, these don't go together, but they're so good. And that's how I feel about you doing comedy. It seems like, of course you would do that. Of course. I didn't see it coming, but of course you would do it. Of course.
I have to admit that I've had a lot of support. I mean, Arsenio said, you need to get on that stage. When I first finished my talk show, Pookie Wigginton, who of Kevin Hart fame, said, you need to be doing this. And I was like, really, sort of, kind of?
Right.
And it really wasn't until I was forced to do it. I think that, you know, there's so many things that we have in us that other people may see that we don't always see.
Mm.
And you never know where that gift may come. And I know as soon as I had to do it as a favor for a friend, Kim Coles, I was hooked. And I said, I'm really, and I knew who I was going to be in front of one day, like you. So I really took it seriously. So I, you know, would come by it honestly.
Wow.
And I'm really putting in the work, and I really want to do this. I would love to do this. Hopefully it transforms into a one-woman show or a sitcom or something at the next stage. But I'll be prepared for that, too, because
I got to tell you, you headlining Caroline's before I did. If you get a one-man show before I did, I'll fucking hate you. I swear to God, I will.
Appreciate.
Hey, girl, I couldn't be proud of you.
So please, New York, we're going to make it a big homecoming. I'm going to give you a half hour of some good fun, and we're just going to have a great time. I'm going to be homecoming in New York. So please come up.
The book, sweetie?
And the book is called Destiny Lingers. You can get it at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all the rest. It's endorsed by Dr. Maya Angelou. And please, I'm working on the screenplay now, so go out and read the book before it's the movie.
Multi-hyphenate. I adore you, woman. Best of luck to you.
Back.
Kick ass, woman.
All right, y'all. Take care.
See you on the other side. There she is, Rolanda Watts. Thank you, sweetie.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah, I'm always... I think one of the bravest things you can do is tell people how you feel. And I think comedy does that. And I'm proud of Rolanda. It really is a lot. I think it's a very exclusive club we belong to.
It's Rolanda.
I've been hearing these women beat up on these men.
The guys in the studio are like, yeah, Robert!
Oh, yeah. Majority of the problems that the single men have, the women don't want to step up to the bat and be women.
Whoa!
They do not want to cook nothing to eat. They don't want to go over to a guy's house and clean his house.
But they want
to get married.
Guys are screaming in here, Robert.
Talk. Listen. Connect.
I just love that DL Hughley. Follow him all over social media. He's on fire everywhere. So check him out. At the time of this podcast, tomorrow night, April the 20th, I'm going to be at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena, California. So come on out. I think it's, you know, we're close to a sold out show, so hurry up. But you know something? I'm going to be traveling all over this coming year. I hope doing my comedy, as I'm doing speeches and hosting dinners as well. If you'd like me to come to your area, please hit me up at Rolonda@Rolonda.com. That's Rolonda@Rolonda.com. Rolonda@Rolonda.com. If you need me to speak at your event, if you need me to host a special dinner for you and your organization, or you just need some good comedy at an event, or you own a comedy club and want to invite me there, I am happy to go. Hey, I got an invitation to come to Miami already, so you'll see me there this summer. I am so excited about comedy, so follow me there for sure, for sure. And please know how appreciative I am that you're listening to Rolonda on Demand. Please also subscribe so I can know that you're there. And any suggestions you have, please hit me up at Rolonda@Rolonda.com. As we mentioned, you can get Destiny Lingers. It's a great spring fever read. It's a great beach read for the summer. Destiny Lingers by Rolonda Watts and endorsed by Dr. Maya Angelou. You can pick it up at Amazon or ask your favorite bookstore to order it for you. And before I say goodbye, I've got the most fun thing to share with you. I'm doing this crazy thing. It was just Ellen DeGeneres is even doing it and talked about it on her show. But it's called Cameo. And myself, a bunch of celebrities, have gotten together as part of the Cameo Famio. And we are doing cameos for our fans. Anybody who wants us to send a special message to somebody special to you. Now, that could be anything, and it doesn't always have to be lovey-dovey. I mean, I've sent things like, happy birthday, happy 70th birthday, Grandma, and congratulations on the new job, and happy birth of your new child. But I've also sent some fun ones from gamers. You know those gamers. I had to tell one gamer that his gaming friend told him that he sucks at gaming, and I had to do it in my gaming voice. If you know, I play a Lowy in the game League of Legends. So I had to say, you suck. Oh, gosh. It's so much fun at the Cameo Famio. Check me out. Cameo.com/Rolonda Watts. Rolonda, Rolonda Watts. Hey, listen, I've even told kids to do their homework in the voice of Professor Wiseman. Thank you so much for listening to Rolonda on Demand. Go back and enjoy some of the archives. If you want to keep on talking comedy, go check out my interview with Carol Burnett. So go back and enjoy. Thank you so much for listening. Please follow me all throughout the week at Rolonda Watts on IG, LinkedIn, Twitter, Facebook, and follow my YouTube channel, the Rolonda Watts channel. Now go out there and do something good.
This podcast is part of the C-Suite Radio Network, turning the volume up on business.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.